Does anybody know what yesterday was? Saturday. Hey. Thanks, Vicky. Victoria, sorry. Yes, April Fool's Day. But also, it's Yom Ha'aliyah. Aliyah Day in Israel. Aliyah, Hebrew word for to go up. The 10th of Nisan, the Jewish month, lunar month of Nisan, the 10th day, when Joshua led Israel across the Jordan, the promised land, and the 12 stones in the Jordan River, the memorial. But also now Aliyah is immigration going up to Israel, up to Jerusalem, from the Jews scattered throughout the diaspora after the Roman Empire. And that'll factor in a little later. Factored around, but bringing back the Jewish people. And if you've ever heard the Jewish national anthem, it is the most beautiful national anthem, I believe, HaTikvah, the hope, a desire, a yearning to return to Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. And that is the importance of the land and the people. In your Bibles, be turning to Luke chapter 19. Because the Palm Sunday, we call it Palm Sunday, but the triumphal entry in Luke 19 we're going to be looking at. And in verse 11 of 19, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God and the idea that a kingdom would show, would appear immediately, and left his son to while he went to a far country, and the people did not want that son to rule over them. And so Jesus is talking about a time when, wait a minute, God, we don't want this man to rule over us. And then in Luke 19, beginning, it's a transition verse, 28, actually, now you can grab these. You just have to follow along. But when we get to the verse 38, blessed is he who comes, that's the Hosanna, so that'd be appropriate time to wave these again. But just listen to the word of the Lord. I'm going to read the whole passage, and then we're going to focus in on verses 41 to 44. When he, Jesus, teaching this, had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he came near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose him and bring him here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing him? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of him. So those who were sent departed and found it just as he said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it came and said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their garments on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as they went, they spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is he, is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." The word of the Lord. When the king shows up, the people, all people, have to make a decision. And so we're going to look at verses 41 through 34. In the first two verses, the lament, you know, the picture of the scene, the triumphal entry, the Messiah, the king, the true king of peace, Jerusalem, the city of peace, the true king of peace has presented himself on a very particular day. And the people ultimately, 4 days later, cry out, "Crucify him." And so Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Scripture, of course, talks about another famous place where Jesus wept, but it was a different word at the raising of Lazarus. Jesus was not in grief because Lazarus had died. He's going to raise him from the dead. But if that word carries with it a snorting, but anger at sin, the enemy, and the unbelief of the people, because, you know, just this is why I have come. And so this weeping, though, is his concern, his lament. The city, earlier in Luke 13, 34, Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." And so this your day, there in verse 42, that day, the arrival and presentation of the Messiah, predicted 550 years previously by Zechariah, in Zechariah 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." This should at what day? Well, like I read, the prophetic context. The Bible, in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel given a vision of the future by Gabriel the archangel, who announces lots of important things. And what is called Daniel's 77s, the idea of 490 years, 69 years, all this math, but Professor Harold Honer, this book is great, Chronological Aspects of the Life of Christ, did a lot of study factoring, and also The Coming Prince, one of the words in Daniel chapter 9. This is by Sir Robert Anderson. He was in Scotland Yard during the time of Jack the Ripper, but he actually was just a godly inspector at Scotland Yard. Dr. Honer modified some things, some areas where Inspector Anderson got it wrong, but just to, so you don't have to, there won't be any math test here. But 77s, 490 years is what Daniel ultimately was saying, the 77s. Minus the 400 and minus 7 years after 69 years, so 483 years. Multiply that by the number of days, you get 173,880 days of prophetic year days from the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. That in Nehemiah chapter 2, Artaxerxes commanded Nehemiah to go back, and when you read the book of Nehemiah, rebuilding, that was on March 5th. 444 BC. Anybody remember that day? Probably not. But that many days later, on Nisan the 10th, March 30th, AD 33, so 33 AD, the triumphal entry, that day Messiah the Prince arrived in Jerusalem. Your king is here. But he was cut off, but not for himself. And so you read the rest of Daniel's prophecy. And then he goes on to talk about a coming, the prince of the coming people, which back in a few years, the idea of what's going to happen. By the way, yesterday, Nisan the 10th, on the 4 days later on that day, Nisan the 10th, during the Passover, was when the Jewish people were to take the lamb that had lived with them. The kids had learned to love the lamb. And then they killed the lamb for the Passover to spread the blood. And so on that day, we chose the lamb. This your day, Jesus is showing up in Jerusalem. And 4 days later, on what we call Good Friday, the lamb was slain. Commentator Donker said, God had kept his commandment with the city, but Jerusalem's power structure did not show up at the banquet. You could sort of sense that with the Pharisees. Tell them to be quiet. And like this quote, this is a very important day. If the people are quiet, the rocks will cry out. Geology takes up the task of theology. I like that. God's creation. This is an important day. God's concern for his people, his lament. Jesus weeping, God the Son, weeping for his concern for the Jewish people that are rejecting him, and the importance of Jerusalem. So when you hear the news in Jerusalem, in the back of our mind, we need to remember that that city is important and has yet momentous role in future events. The city of peace, because the coming King of Peace showed up on that particular day in 33 AD. But then the next few verses, Jesus warns, because you didn't know this day, the days are coming when you will, the destruction by the Romans. There was a Jewish revolt began in 66, the Great Revolt, and the Romans don't put up with revolts. And Vespasian was the general, came in and started to destroy the city, but he was called away to Rome to become emperor. His son, the coming prince, Titus, was the one that ended up crushing the rebellion. And you can read good old Josephus describes in the Jewish War the history of what happened. Horrific destruction, brutality. One of the things that I remember, Chuck Smith, from the Jesus Revolution when we were over in Israel, I remember him talking about all the gold on the temple, Herod's temple. The fires melted the gold. The gold ran down inside the rocks. And what did the Roman soldiers do? They took crowbars, not one stone left standing on another. This complete destruction of the city, besieged in 70 AD, the coming prince. So that was a near prophecy that Jesus was talking about. But in the Bible, sometimes there are near prophecies. You know, this happened in 70 AD. But then in Daniel, you go on and it goes on looking further into the future. And so the far prophecy in Daniel, a revived emperor, a coming ruler known as the Antichrist. I believe the Bible is very clear about this, and I believe it is yet future. So a greater, so Titus, a coming prince, but then this greater world ruler, the Antichrist, a coming prince, during the time of Daniel's 70th seven. So this goes to prophecy. 70 sevens are determined upon you, the Jewish people, and your city, Jerusalem. And so during the 70th seven, the great, what we call the Great Tribulation, and what is going to happen with, now let me read back to Daniel chapter 9. 77s are determined to do what? To finish the transgression. So a yet 7 year period, I believe the Bible teaches. 7 year period, for your holy city, for your people in your holy city, to finish the transgression, the apostasy, the hardening of Israel in particular, to make an end of sins, judgment coming. If you were an adult Bible study, we began talking about judgment, the coming judgment, to make reconciliation for iniquity, being made right with God. We need a redeemer, a Messiah. to bring in everlasting righteousness. So the coming kingdom, the millennium kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth, and to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy, the holy of holies. And so the idea of a yet future event, destruction, because of what God is doing with his people, the Jewish people, known as this time, known as the time of Jacob's trouble. Later in Daniel 12, he says, at that time, at the end time, see, yet future now, at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. That's an interesting statement. Michael as the archangel standing watch over the Jewish people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people will be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And Jesus says then, and why is this destruction coming? What is the reason? Because you did not know the time of your visitation, Jerusalem. And then after that, he goes into the temple. Well, we'll get into that in just a second. So lament, concern for his people and his city, but God's just judgment upon the rejection of his salvation. And so not just a coming king of peace, there is coming a king, small king, prince of destruction. Titus, a type of a yet coming ruler. Folks, that I believe that is history pre-written. So this your day, the king is drawing near. And so several times I didn't emphasize it, but that's an important word, that drawing near, Jesus is drawing near to Jerusalem, drawing near to the Mount of Olives, drawing near to the city. And like that quote, but Jerusalem's power structure, the political leaders, the religious leaders, did not show up. As the king is drawing near, who will show up? And so what a great question for all of us on Palm Sunday, but the triumphal entry. Israel didn't show up. John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 9, that was the true light, Jesus, which gives light to every man. He's come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own place, Israel, Jerusalem, and his own people, did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not just because you're Jewish, and that's what the Jewish people missed. Sometimes we miss that, you know, we look to our own credentials. Nor of the will of the flesh, something we do, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then over in John chapter 3, Israel. So that's Israel. Now let's expand that up to a little bit. John 3, beginning in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, a world of sinners, through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light, the King, has come into the world, triumphal entry, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. The king is drawing near. Who will show up? This, your day, my day. The choice, God's choice, his concern, his lament, at his first coming, Jesus coming in, weeping over the city. God's love, grace, mercy is freely offered to people that don't deserve it. But it's a free gift to have peace, shalom, with the King of peace. But if you don't get the first coming, that second coming, there's judgment. We reject the offer, that free gift. You reject that offer. The Jewish people found out, people all over the world today, the deserved, see, hey, we don't believe that, the deserved judgment and punishment of a holy God on people who fall short of his glory. Folks, that's, the free gift is there. Well, that's not fair. This is grace and mercy. That's not fair either. Jesus, the Messiah, the one truly innocent man, his humanity, was cut off, but not for himself, as Daniel said, for his people. And then the rest of that last verse in Daniel, where Jesus then goes into the temple, where man's worship, let's put that in quotes, the commercialism, what the temple had become, the corruption, man-centered, segregated. And if you know the diagrams of the temple, and if you've ever been over there and seen the Holy Land Hotel, the model of the city, I mean, it's cool, but the temple environments, they segregated, you know, you dirty Gentiles, you can't pass this fence, you know, women, you can only go this far, but a segregated, man-centered relationship. Jesus asked the temple, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. Guess what? He was talking about a lot more than a bunch of rocks. He was talking about the one holy of holies that truly saves people. Destruction. Man-centered. Works righteousness, folks. If that's what you're relying on, this your day ain't going to be pretty. So the solution then, God's covenant with his people, the new covenant. So a few days later, after the triumphal entry, on the night celebrating the Pesach, the Passover meal with his disciples, that lamb slain and the sacrifice that was required, a blood sacrifice, the new covenant instituting what we call the Lord's Supper communion, to which we will now turn. Let me read the words from Luke a few chapters later. Luke chapter 22. Verse 14. And when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. This is one of the cups of the four cups during a Seder. If you've ever been to a Seder meal, this was the Kiddush, the blessing. But then verse 19, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So let's stand. We're going to recite Apostles' Creed. And then we will, the deacons will come and we will celebrate the new covenant, the answer to all of this. So.